Please turn in your New King James Bibles to Psalm 40. We note that this is a Psalm of David. God the Holy Spirit moved him to write, "I waited patiently for Jehovah, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come, in the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. O Lord, you yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me, for innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God." Now, we don't know the circumstances of David writing this, but there are a couple of things that we know here that really are true in every psalm. It is eminently, that's the word I wanted, worthy for worship and useful for worship, far more than the thoughts and imaginations of men, because it is the very word of God. God alone now knows how he is to be pleased. God alone knows how he is to be worshipped. He knows the best praise, and he in his kindness has given it to us through such men as David, as Moses, as the sons of Korah, and others. He has given us these psalms because they perfectly express his praise and his worship. He knows himself. He knows what delights himself. The psalms are all given for that. But secondly, these are given for us. Not only to praise God with, but to express the innermost thoughts of our hearts. For you see, they are not made by some mere man. They are made by God himself. Some other mere creature cannot read your heart, but the God who made you, who knows you, and has from eternity loved you, does know what you need. And so, all the psalms are perfectly fitted to express the need of the redeemed heart. There's a third thing. The Lord Jesus himself said in Luke 24, verse 44, after his resurrection, that the Psalms speak of him. And it is because the Psalms speak of his person and work, every one of them, to a more obvious or perhaps more subtle way. Because each speaks of his person and work, we are able to use them for worship. We are able to see them ministering to our own hearts. For were it not for the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, we could not worship God. We would only flee from him, the living and true God. We might, as others have done, flee to idols, but we would be fleeing from, not worshiping, the living and true God. And were it not for the redeeming work of our Lord Jesus Christ, we would have no right to look for any comfort from God. We would have a right to justice. We would have a right to fairness. We would have a right to truth from him. But all these would condemn us. We would not know the love of a father, only the wrath of an offended judge, an affronted creator. But because of Jesus, who is in the Psalms, every one of them, we can and do worship. Because of Jesus, these Psalms minister to our hearts. Now, let us see Jesus here. Greeks long ago went to Philip and then to Andrew. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Let that be our attitude now. Psalm 40 is so rich with Jesus Christ that we cannot do it justice in a meditation. We must give it a very cursory look that I hope will provoke thoughts and meditation further today, or spend many, many hours here. Suffice it to say that this is full of Jesus. And it's not my fevered imagination that says so. Again, we have Jesus' very words, but we have it as well in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 10, I believe, where the author of that letter quotes from Psalm 40, applying it, saying that these are the words of Jesus Christ. And so it is when we are thinking, perhaps, that we are so grateful to God that he has taken us from the mud, from the muck, the filth in which we were stuck, and has set us upon a rock, upon Jesus Christ. We're able to do so because God drew him up, raising him from death, raising him to resurrection life that has transformed all the world. That is why we can apply these three first verses to ourselves, because most wonderfully they apply to Jesus Christ. In verses 4 and 5, these verses apply to us because they apply to Jesus Christ. He, of course, trusted in his Father far more than ever we have. It is because of that, his doing that perfectly, because of that trust which led him to the cross, we have him for a Father. We have him for a covenant of God, one upon whom we can trust as well. David declares here, being moved by the Spirit to be showing us the heart thoughts of Jesus. David writes here in verse 5 about the wonderful works and the thoughts toward us, the love which God has for his people in their covenant head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And surely, friends, the love which God has set upon us in eternity, the adoption he's given to us as his children, all his plans, all his decree worked out not only for his glory, but for our good, because he loves us and delights to do us good. Why, they are far beyond our ability to count or even imagine, because all of them are fulfilled in Jesus. All of them are brought to pass by Jesus. Looking there in verses 6 through 8, we see these words which are quoted by the author of the letter to the Hebrews. Ultimately, it was not the blood of bulls and of goats, the blood of lambs and of pigeons. It was not the sifted flour that was cast into the flames, nor the wine that was drained upon the altar that brought about fellowship, that brought about forgiveness of sin. It was and is the blood of Jesus Christ. That is what brings us redemption. And here it is. We see the mind of Jesus, the heart of Jesus in eternity past. We have a wee opening given to us in that which happened. This is always such an awkward phrase, before time. We see Jesus' determination to come and do His Father's will. He did not have to be compelled. He did not have to be in some way cajoled to come. No, He delighted to come to redeem His people. He delighted to come so that His Father would be glorified in the redemption of many, untold many. And in His life on earth, He preached good tidings in the coming of the kingdom that is spoken of there in verses 9 and 10. And He, as the great prophet, the one far greater than Moses, continues to speak to us today in and through His Word as His Spirit applies it to us. Now, folks might say, now, wait a minute, what about in verses 11 and 12? That doesn't seem in any way how it could apply to Jesus. For we read that He was tempted in every way like to us, yet without sin. We read that in Hebrews as well. Indeed, friends, He never yielded to temptation. He never gave in and sinned. Yet at the same time, though He committed no sin nor omitted any duty, He legally took on the guilt of sin for all His people. He willingly took on the penalty of that guilt. And so at the cross, we have these words thought of anyway. We see not only His heart in eternity, we see His heart at the cross here. And it was while He was bearing the wrath of His Father for the guilt He had legally and voluntarily taken on that He cried out those words that we saw weeks and weeks and weeks ago in Psalm 22, my God, why have You forsaken Me? As the wrath of God poured out upon Him, why He was saying words similar to this, they were not iniquities He had committed, but they were His, legally speaking. He cried out for God's deliverance, as we see here in verse 13. He called out judgment upon those who willfully continued, reprobate in their sin. The leaders of the Jews who wagged their head at Him and said, "If You are the Son of God, bring Yourself down from the cross." But then He also was one who prayed for His people there at the cross, as we see in verses 16 and 17. And while He looked for redemption, redemption came. And we know what happened. "Why, it is finished," He was able to say. "Into Your hands I commit My spirit," He was able to say. And then on the first of the New Testament Sabbaths, that resurrection which we celebrate today as we do every first day of the week, He was raised victorious over sin, having paid all the penalty of it, prepared and ready in weeks later to ascend to heaven, where there He reigns as our prophet, as our priest, and as our king. Well, there is tons of stuff there, and I have only scratched the surface. In fact, that's really rather dignifying it. But as we sing from this, any portion really of Psalm 40, but we're going to from Part C, let us see Jesus here, and let us give thanks that it is because of His life, death, resurrection, and ascension, we can use this to minister to our own hearts and think of the fact that since He was pulled from death and raised to life, we are pulled from the muck and mire. We are set upon the rock, upon Him who determined to come and has fulfilled all His Father's will in saving a people, in love and for glory. Psalm 40, C.